A second chance. 14. Submissive inquiry. The Yamadutis said, "We wish to learn from you what are the actual facts regarding this incident. If you think that we shall be able to understand, please enlighten us." This is the way of inquiring submissively from superiors. Not challenging. We shall always find that Maharaja Parikshit, Arjuna, and anyone else executing this process of spiritual enlightenment inquires with humble submission and a mood of service. Merely because we put a question to our superior does not mean that he is obliged to answer us. Sometimes he may refuse if we are not able to comprehend the answer. We cannot demand. Inquiry, submission, and service are the way to knowledge. Whenever Maharaja Parikshit questioned Sukadeva Goswami, he said very submissively, "If you think that I shall be able to understand, please answer this question." Before Yamaraja replied to the Yamadutis, he first remembered the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Just as the subordinate puts the question to his superior with a submissive attitude, similarly, the superior is not proud, boasting, "Yes, I can answer your question." He remembers the lotus feet of the Lord and prays, "Whatever you help me to speak, I'll answer." As long as the teacher is not proud and the disciple is not disobedient, puffed up, or impudent, they can exchange spiritual questions and answers. One should not inquire in a challenging mood, and the one who answers should remember the lotus feet of the Lord, so that the right answer will be given. Yamaraja was very pleased with his servants, because they had chanted the holy name of Narayana in his dominion. Yamaraja has to deal with men who are all sinful, and who can hardly understand Narayana. Consequently, when his order carriers uttered the name of Narayana, he was extremely pleased, for he is also a Vaisnava. Chapter 20. Under One Master. Yamaraja said, "My dear servants, you have accepted me as the Supreme, but factually I'm not. Above me, and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Candra, is the one Supreme Master and Controller. The partial manifestations of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. Just as the driver of a bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men with the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, and Sudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. I, Yamaraja, Indra, the King of Heaven, Nirdi, Varuna, the God of the Waters, Candra, the Moon God, Ani, the Fire God, Lord Shiva, Pravana, the God of the Air, Lord Brahma, Siraya, the Sangad, Visvasu, the Eight Vasas, the Sadhyas, the Merits, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marasi and the other great Rasis engaged, in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brahaspati and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What, then, is to be said of others, who under illusion merely speculate to know God? As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, so the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the Super Soul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.12-16. One Supreme Controller, the Yamadutas, suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamaraja. To eradicate their doubts, Yamaraja immediately replied, "Yes, there is one Supreme Controller above everything. Yamaraja is in charge of some of the moving living entities, namely the human beings, but the animals, who also move, are not under his control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong, and among them only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraja. Therefore, although Yamaraja is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna. Isvara Paramakrishna, the supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the Supreme Controller. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.7, Matapiradaram Nanaya Kinsitasti Dhananjaya, my dear Dhananjaya, Arjuna, no one is superior to me. Therefore Yamaraja immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistants, the Yamadutas, by confirming that there is a supreme controller above all others. In this material world, everyone is controlled by the laws of nature regardless of who he is. Whether one is a human being, a demigod, an animal, a tree, or a plant, one is controlled by the laws of nature, and behind this natural control is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Mayadhyaksina Prakritasuayat Sakarakaram. The material nature is working under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Thus the natural machine works under Krishna's control, under the control of Varna and Asrama. Apart from other living entities, a living being in the human form of body is meant to be controlled by the Vedic injunctions in terms of the divisions of Varna and Asrama, the social and spiritual classes. Otherwise he cannot escape punishment by Yamaraja. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of a Brahmana, the most intelligent man, and then one must transcend that position to become a Vaisnava. This is the perfection of life. The Brahmanas, citrus, vases, and cedars can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities. SVE Karmani Abhiratasam Siddhim Lapatnara. The divisions of Varna and Asrama are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence for everyone, but everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord, who is all-pervading, yena sarvam idam tatam. If one thus follows the Vedic injunctions, by worshipping the Supreme Lord according to one's ability, his life will be perfect. This Srimad Bhagavatam, January 2, 13, confirms this. At Tapampard Vijas Restha, Varnasramavid Pagasa, Svanasthitasaya Dharmasaya, Samsitir Haritasanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging one's prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. The Varnasrama institution offers the perfect process for making one eligible to return home, back to Godhead, because the aim of every Varna and Asrama is to please the Lord. One can please the Lord under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, and then one's life is perfect. The Supreme Lord is worshipable, and everyone worships Him directly or indirectly. Those who worship Him directly get the results of liberation quickly, whereas the liberation of those who serve Him indirectly is delayed. The words Namabhadarvasi in verse 13, Namabhad by different names, Vasi, to the Vedic language, are very important. In the Varnasrama institution, there are different names Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, Sudra, Brahmakari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. The Vak, or Vedic injunctions, give directions for all these divisions. Everyone is expected to offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord and perform duties as indicated in the Vedas, controlled by three modes of nature, man and other living entities within this cosmic manifestation, are controlled by the three modes of nature. For the living entities controlled by the base qualities of nature, passion and ignorance, there is no possibility of understanding God. Even those in the mode of goodness, like the many demigods and great rishis described in these verses, cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only one who is situated in devotional service to the Lord, and who is thus transcendental to all material qualities, can understand Him, Bhaktiya Mamabhajanati. Ordinary philosophers can never know the Lord. The great devotee Bhismadeva confirms this in the following statement to Maharaja Yudhisthira, Srimad Bhagavatam January 9, 16. Nahar Sayakar Hisid Rajan Puman Vidavitititam Yadvajijnasaya Yukta Muhayanti Kavayopihai. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. No one, therefore, can understand God by speculative knowledge. Indeed, by speculation one will be bewildered. Directed by the super soul, although the different parts of the body do not have the power to see the eyes, the eyes direct the movements of the body's different parts. The legs move forward, because the eyes see what is in front of them, and the hand touches, because the eyes see touchable entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to the direction of the supercell, who is situated within the heart. The Lord Himself confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, 15.15, Sarvasya Katam Hudisanavistamata Smritirjnanamapahanam Sarka. I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and giving directions for remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.61, it is stated, Isvarasarvabhutanamachadidisrajunatisthati, the Supreme Lord, as the Supercell, is situated in the heart. The living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of the Supercell. The Supercell is acting at every moment, but the living entity cannot understand the form and activities of the Supercell by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes, but that is impossible. Although one cannot see the supercell in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. Chapter 21, Confidential Knowledge. Yamaraja continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities, and features, and similarly his order carriers, the Visnudutis, or Vaisnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features and transcendental qualities almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. The Visnudutis are worshipped even by the demigods, and are very rarely seen. They protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. The real religious principle is enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain this principle, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Satyaloka, to say nothing of the demons, ordinary human beings, Vidyadharas, or Karanas. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Siva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlada Maharaja, Janaka Maharaja, Grandfather Bhisma, Bali Maharaja, Sukadeva Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavata Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord, and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand, but if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated, and thus he returns home, back to Godhead. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. My dear servants, who are as good as my sons, Just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamila chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord he remembered Narayana, and thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. Therefore it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if a person chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamila, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation, because he remembered the name of Narayana. Because they are bewildered by the Supreme Lord's illusory energy, Yajnavalkya, Jaimini, and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Arjaveda, their intelligence has become dull. Thus they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Svargaloka for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtana movement. Instead, they are interested in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake, or because of bewilderment or illusion they sometimes commit sinful acts, they are protected from sinful reactions, because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. My dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods and the inhabitants of Sitaloka. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Lord, and therefore Lord Brahma, and I and even the time factor are not competent to chastise them. Paramahamsas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment, and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with paramahamsas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.17-29. The Protectors. Yamaraja was describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, but the order carriers of Yamaraja were very eager to know about the Vishnu Dutas, who had defeated them in their encounter with the Jamila. Yamaraja therefore stated that the Vishnu Dutas resemble the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their bodily features, transcendental qualities, and nature. In other words, the Vishnu Dutas, or Vaisnavas, are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord. Yamaraja informed the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are no less powerful than Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraja, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Persons protected by the Vishnu Dutas, therefore, cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. Yamaraja has described the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas to convince his own servants not to be envious of them. Yamaraja warned the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are worshipped with respectful obeisances by the demigods, and are always very alert to protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from natural disturbances, and from all dangerous conditions in this material world. Sometimes the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are afraid of the impending danger of world war, and ask what would happen to them if a war should occur. In all kinds of danger they should be confident with their protection by the Vishnu Dutas or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kantiya Pratijani Hunami Bhakta Pranasayati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly, that my devotee never perishes. Material danger is not meant for devotees. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, October 14, 58, Padam Padam Yadvipadam Natasam. In this material world there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees of Lord Vishnu may rest assured that the Lord will protect them, and as long as they are in this material world they should fully engage in devotional service, by preaching the message of Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely chanting Hare Krishna and the other aspects of Krishna consciousness. Direct connection with Krishna. When challenged by the Vishnu Dutas to describe the principles of religion, the Yamadutas had said, Vedapranihito Dharma. The Vedic literature defines religious principles. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Real religious principles are Nistragunaya, above the three modes of material nature, or transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore when prevented from arresting a Jamila, they were surprised. Materialistic persons who attach all their faith to the Vedic rituals are described in the Bhagavad Gita 2.42. Wherein Krishna says, Vedavadarata Parthananaya Dastiti Vadina. The supposed followers of the Vedas say that there is nothing beyond the Vedic ceremonies. Indeed, there is a group of men in India who are very fond of the Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of these rituals, which are intended to elevate one gradually to the transcendental platform of knowing Krishna. Vedas kasarvar atam eva vedaya. Those who do not know this principle, but who simply attach their faith to the Vedic rituals are called Vedavadarata. Herein it is stated that the real religious principle is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna states that principle in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Sarvadharman Paritayajaya Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows the Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, or from his special representative, as stated in these verses.